the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Yeah, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in to 95.7 The Game. I'm getting music, I'm hearing my voice, I'm all over the place, and I could have had new headphones. Instead, I've got these things from like the 1940s. Jake Hutchinson, Lorenzo Neal.
Jake!
What's going on, fellas? Got you covered for the next...
Well, 4 hours.
4 hours?
Let's do it.
All right.
We got this.
It's the San Francisco 49ers, and knives are out, apparently. And I guess we'll start right where we just left off. And the latest news coming down hours ago that Fred Warner has been playing with a fractured ankle for the last, well, more than a month, since week four.
Yeah, since
when he hurt it against the New England Patriots. We talked about it as to why you would disclose it now. Was it something that had underlying meaning to it? Is there something in terms of a rallying call and trying to get to other players to sort of step up against a difficult matchup against Buffalo? Or is this just simply, to oversimplify things, Jake, it's just not your year, baby.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think if this is your year and you're rolling and things are feeling good, I'm not sure Fred Warner shares that information, right? Because they're all playing well, they're playing good. Why do you have to tell anybody that you're dealing with an ankle injury? And I'm not saying I blame him. I get it. You're being criticized. Your defense is getting roasted after a brutal game against the Packers where you're getting dominated physically, you're getting out-schemed, and Fred Warner, you're the head of it. You know, you run that defense, you got the green dot on your helmet, and so I think at a certain point, it wears on you. He holds himself to that high standard to be an all-pro, all-world player. If you're not at that level and people are asking, why aren't you playing the same? At a certain point, you might just say, all right, yeah, I have been playing through an ankle that's fractured.
Yeah, and I think that even if he was healthy, I don't think there's a lot you can do when you're getting double-teamed and you're getting offensive linemen that are coming off and able to block you because ace block or scoop block and able to put a hat on you. It's really hard for Mike linebackers at 220, 230 pounds to take on 300-pound offensive linemen that are moving forward, that you are not sitting, you are waiting for those guys. You got defensive front guys that are in your lap. Now you're asked to come off and make tackles. It's possible, but it's not probable. I don't care who you are as a linebacker. I played linebacker for many years. I was a way better linebacker than fullback. I was an all-American linebacker, averaged 16 tackles a game. You put me in as linebacker.
Fresno?
Yeah, at Lemoore High, I was recruited for a linebacker. Without a doubt, I would have been drafted higher as a linebacker than a fullback.
Little Sam Mills?
Exactly. You already know. I mean, my instinctive, I mean, you should, I mean, it was just amazing. But every now and then when you had a guard and a center can able to come off their nose guard, push him out of the way, take him, and then come and double you. I remember playing against the Bakersfield Drillers, and they would double team me because they knew it was averaging 16 tackles. They said, we're not going to let this guy beat you. Other guys have to make plays. When your linebacker, Mike linebacker, is getting double teamed, if your Mike linebacker is not able to get to the plays and you got offensive linemen and you have a fullback that's on him, somebody in that interior lineman has to be making plays. I'm just telling you, you ask anyone, get Ray Lewis, get Patrick Willis, and go ask them, when you get blocked by a lineman and guys are coming off to you, it's hard to make tackles. I'm not saying you can't. It is friggin' hard. I played that position, played it for a long time. I'm telling you, it's hard to do. And by the way, with the Tennessee Titans, I was emergency linebacker for the Titans under Greg Williams, who's a DC, because I could play linebacker.
Did you ever get in?
I was ready.
Well, just since we're talking high school days.
In college, I played at Fresno State, played linebacker a couple games.
Yeah, I was a linebacker in second grade.
second grade, prepared when you're college,
but linebackers always want to be clean, right? They hate having to deal with it. Well, how much of this, as we talk about Fred Warner and the fractured ankle, is just Dre Greenlaw not being available?
I think that's huge. Greg Greenlaw, what he did, he covered up a lot of things, and that's why Fred loved him. You see, because, hey, look, Greenlaw could make plays. If Fred's getting doubled, if things happen, Greenlaw was a guy that could come in and make things happen. But you just – this is more than just about Fred's ankle. This is just about a team, man, that's not playing well up front. They're not playing well in the trenches. They're not playing at the second level well, and it's tough. And that's why Green Bay and that's why teams have ran the ball with consistency on the Niners. When you can run the ball and run the ball down your throat and there's nothing you could do, it's the reason why the Niners got to put 8-9 guys in the box at times, because you can't stop the run. That tells you there's a problem. You can't sit back and play two safeties and two deep. What does that tell you? Go look at it. It's a problem.
No question. And it's tough. With no Dre Greenlaw, it goes beyond what he's physically capable of. That guy, we talked about it. He's a lunatic on the field in the best way possible. That energy matters. And when you're a team that is doubting yourself a little bit and you're getting, you know, sort of ground into a pulp in the run game, you need a guy like that to come in with that energy, that physicality, and help out a little bit, especially when Warner is being targeted and Devondre Campbell looks like a shell of his former self, and you're asking a lot of a young linebacker and D. Winters or Teamador Lenore, and you're facing teams that are getting to that second level and are clearing those guys out. You just need somebody who can flip that switch, and Greenlaw's a guy that can do it, and it's probably too little too late on that end.
When your corners and safeties and secondary is making a lot of tackles, there's a problem, man. There is a problem. It doesn't, they don't get paid, and that's what Deion Sanders said, I don't get paid to tackle. And sometimes in these schemes, and he's right, but he's wrong, because you do have to make those tackles when called upon. But at times, man, when you're interior linemen, your linebackers usually lead the team in tackles because of the fact they're clean. Your linebackers, go look around the league, and defensive linemen usually don't lead your team in tackles. It's the linebackers. But that means you got to do your job. You have four defensive linemen down or three defensive linemen. Their job is to keep one of those linemen clean, to keep them off the linebackers, for linebackers can run downhill and scrape and make plays. If linebackers run sideline to sideline, do the things you would do, you have a defensive front that has an obligation to make sure your linebackers stay clean and they can make tackles and play downhill.
You know, I talked about this in the exchange with Guru and Steinian. Does it get to a point where, when you look at the injury to Fred Warner, when you think about Greenlaw, who, by the way, is going to be a free agent, Jake, we can talk about that a little bit later, but when you think about this team going forward, the injuries to Bosa and Purdy, for whatever reason, we can get into Purdy as we always do. He seems to be at least not on par to where he was a year ago. That maybe just not shutting it down, but maybe not getting to the playoffs could be the best thing for this team, so that you can evaluate talent. And the other thing I think that everybody has to keep in mind is that you handcuffed yourself a little bit because you did re-sign and give extensions to Brandon Ayuk, to Bosa going back into the day, as well as Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and, of course, Trent Williams. So there's not a lot of money because there's a thing called the salary cap in the National Football League. You have to improve your draft status. And so maybe the best thing for this football team, as you had talked about, if they're not going to make a run in the postseason, then maybe we should start thinking about next year, beginning this weekend.
No question about it. No, and we've talked about this the last few days, is there's a fundamental issue on both sides of the ball. This is not a team that's really built through the trenches. They used to do that with the defensive line, and they went away from it. And at a certain point, trench warfare. If you're going to be a team that wants to be physical and run the ball, you kind of need offensive linemen who can execute that. And especially on the interior, they don't have that. And so all of these intricate runs and beautifully designed plays that they love to rely on, they just don't have guys that are executing that. They're getting bullied. And when one guy falls back, he's pushing him into another one. And all of a sudden, Christian McCaffrey's fighting for his life to get 2 yards. And so you've got that. And if they lose out, not only do you get rest, but you do get time to evaluate how many of these guys are still linchpins, are people you want to keep around for the future, and what are the positions that you really need to look at in the draft and free agency and say, okay, this is what our identity is going to be going forward.
Yeah, and I wonder if, for me, if I'm going to recoup and say, hey, look, I'm going to rebuild and go to the drawing board, I'm going to invest in, we talked about it yesterday, I'm going to invest in the trenches. Football games are won and lost in the trenches. I think that you look and see, what can I get for a Debo? Can I get a 3? Can I get a 2? Can I get a second round draft choice for Debo. I gotta see what value I have for my players, because you have to look at. I mean, I know we talk about this a quarterback driven league, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I think there's running backs now in this league that is worthy of the conversation of MVP. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. You look at these guys, it's showing now that you need to start paying these running backs. You got a guy, Christian McCaffrey, that, you know, that you get him the right defensive, get him the right offensive lineman, you know what he can do. I mean, it's no longer, when you talk about McCaffrey, you look at what Saquon done. You look at the quarterback. Whose team is it? This is Saquon Barkley's team. The Giants, look at the Giants. They sat there and said, okay, we got to pay the quarterback Daniel Jones, and Saquon is not that important. That just goes to show you he was still getting that team to a playoffs. They were still relevant with Saquon. Look what Derrick Henry, what he was doing, carrying Tennessee to playoffs, and they talked about, oh, we got to pay the quarterback. It's foolish. These talking heads that talk just about quarterbacks, you're out of your mind. They don't know what they're doing. Analytics, oh, you can't pay. Look, you do pay the running back, and they need to be in those same conversations when you're talking about paying receivers. When you look at a receiver, receivers got to beat a guy, a corner and a safety, two guys. A running back's got to beat a lot more guys. Yeah, you can say, oh, we can just do it, plug in a guy and plug and play. The durability, yeah, for 1 or 2 weeks or three, couple weeks, yeah. But you're talking about long haul? It's now, and I think that you got to start saying, if we respect McCaffrey the way that we believe that he is, get him the right offensive line, and this guy can be unbelievable. You've seen the kind of runs and what he can do in the passing game run. That's why I think that this league is getting ready to be flipped, and you're going to see running backs starting to get paid. You get McCaffrey the right type of line, and you get those guys to be able to do the things that they can do for McCaffrey. He's in the same he's got that type of talent.
Running back is in vogue. It's return to the NFL.
Return,
man.
Baby.
Hello, you're salivating.
Making a push. Yes.
You're drooling as we speak.
Yes.
Jake, I want you to talk about this, because Jake, you cover the team, and obviously you're behind the curtain and you know sort of the inner workings. There's this sort of philosophy out there that when it comes to the Niners and offensive linemen, as Lowe just passionately detailed, that there's a sense of, lack of a better word, arrogance, that the 49ers feel as though that they don't necessarily need to waste a first or second round pick, because they can coach these guys up. They can teach them the system. You got Kucerik, and it doesn't get any better than that. Whereas they need to sort of maybe flip that thinking and saying, as Lowe just mentioned, we need to invest in talent that's plug and play. What do you think?
That quite literally, we asked Chris Foerster, their offensive line coach, run game coordinator. We asked him about his philosophy on all this. And right after the draft, he was saying, essentially, first, second rounds, we'd rather go skill position. There'd have to be an incredible talent. Usually that's off the board. And so they look like third, fourth, fifth. We can get a guy, and maybe we can mold him and we can teach him. And that is literally their philosophy. And I think when you look at the way they're built, you might have to reevaluate that. I think the highest after Mike McGlinchey they spent on an offensive lineman was Aaron Banks, who's, I think, having maybe his worst year as a Niner. They drafted him over Creed Humphrey, who is an all-pro center for, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's something where even if you do decide to evaluate that position and put it higher on your board, you still have to get it right and say, okay, do we want this sort of undersized athletic center like a Jake Brendel that they valued, or do we need to be more physical, more athletic in a league that has a lot of guys that are challenging these undersized centers?
If your quarterback is the future and the face of your franchise, and that's the guy you want to build on, If that's what, and I'll take that and say, okay, that's it. Follow me here. What did the Chargers do? Name me their two offensive tackles.
You love them Chargers.
Look at those two offensive tackles.
No.
Look
at the go out look. Of Notre Dame. Yeah. Well, that's Harbaugh for you though. He's mean potatoes. He's resetting the league. Going back to the 1980s with Harbaugh.
But he wins in the trenches. You go look at the Chargers. Dobbins, how hard he runs, but it's the line. He said, I'm going to invest in the defense and offensive line.
I think they converted what was a defensive tackle to be their fullback.
Yes.
That's their belief.
Yes, and you look at Baltimore. You look at the teams that – you look at even Bills. Teams are invested in offensive line. You have to be able to – you look at Kansas City. Man, Jones, 95. Look what they're doing. Their trenches, they're not scoring a bunch of touchdowns and just lighting it up. But they're winning in the trenches. You have to go back to say you win and lose football games in the trenches. When the Niners were at their best, the year before last, not last year, but a couple years ago, when that defense was humming, they ran the ball 40, 50 times. You had a dominant offensive line. You had a defense to get after it, and you won in the trenches. Football is never going to change. You can go try to play basketball on the grass and say, oh, I'm going to get all these skill positions. It doesn't get you far. It's hard to play basketball on the grass on a consistent basis and win championships.
And it looks as though, as we had talked about, that 3 yards in a cloud of dust and that mentality, you know what's dying is the spread formation in the NFL. You know how things are cyclical in this league, and it just looks as though, give me a 2 tight end set, maybe even bring back someone like, you got any eligibility, a fullback?
Like you said, it's simple. It's coming back now. Team said, okay, you want to spread us out and do all this stuff? Now we're going to go kick your butt and we're going to go get physical. That's where the Niners were making its hay, and that's what they were doing. They said, we're going to do gadgets, but we're going to be physical in the trenches and we're going to win football games. Go look around the league now. These physical teams right now, you run the ball, play physical, Baltimore, Kansas City even run the ball. Go look around the league. Look at Detroit. Teams are being physical. That is the pillar of football, trenches.
Yeah, and you look at it, the offseason trend, I think this last offseason was interior offensive linemen. They started to get paid, and it wasn't even guys that were top of market that were these elite offensive linemen. They were just decent, and teams said, we value them. We're going to start paying them a little bit more, and it brings the market up. I think teams understood the trend and wanted to get more physical on their interior, and they said, that's how we're going to attack that, and I think that reflects what you're saying, Lo.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get to a break. By the way, Lo.
I'm just getting fired up, baby. Let's go. We're talking about physical type of football.
Well, this will fire you up. Saquon Barkley, potentially a running back getting the MVP this year. It's in the conversation. All right, we'll continue to talk about it. Lo's fired. Every time I do a show with Lo, I'm ready to run through that glass, man. The guy gets you going. All right, Jake Hutchinson, Lo Neal, Dan Avone, we got you until 6 o'clock. We're talking about the Niners as they get ready for the Buffalo Bills, only here on 95.7 The Game.